Hey, good morning, Rev City family. How you doing this morning?
Come on, aren't you grateful to the Lord and for his faithfulness to us, his goodness? Come on, we can do better than that. Aren't you grateful to the Lord for his goodness and his faithfulness to us? Man, I don't know about you, but there's an atmosphere that God is just moving in this place, in this season. I'm just telling you, as your pastor, it feels good to pastor a church where I like to go to church. I mean, that's a good thing, you know. I don't know that everyone has that blessing or that benefit, you know. But I look forward to coming and worshiping with you guys, amen. I'm beginning to just expect that God's doing something, just something fresh and something new. It's a good thing. So hope that you're sensing that as well and leaning into that. Hey, if you got your Bible this morning, turn to Mark chapter 2. And going to continue a message this morning in our series, Friends for Life. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Just so thankful to see you this morning. I love this time of year. Come on, who loves this time of year? Moving into fall and moving into football. And there's a hint of fall in the air. And it was a good day of football yesterday. Come on, all my teams won. Come on, Rock Chalk, give it up. College football is back. The Chiefs are projected to go to the Super Bowl. After defeating the Antichrist, Bill Belichick, in the AFC Championship game, and the man of lawlessness known as Tom Brady. The air just smells sweeter to me when football is being played, you know. My Dallas Cowboys, come on, I'm from Texas, don't hold it against me, are undefeated. It's true, they haven't played a game yet, but come on, I'm just holding on, I'm just saying. They're undefeated. Let me enjoy it while it lasts, probably just a week or so, all right?
All right.
Hey, I'm going to continue this morning. Friends for Life, we're created for relationship. Listen, this message, this series is intended to just kind of point you guys to rally weeks and to life groups, which is something that we just offer as a church because we believe in the power of relationship. There really is something special and unique that happens when we gather together corporately like this on Sunday mornings. But there's something special and unique that also happens when we make time in our busy schedules to gather together as disciples and as brothers and sisters in the Lord outside of Sunday mornings. And so it's just part of how we're featuring those and saying, look into your schedule. Some seasons it may work better than others. We understand that. There's no pressure. There's no obligation. Just an invitation because we believe in the value of relationship. And listen, it's not just a church vision, it's not just a church concept, it's biblical. Through the book of Acts, the Bible says that they gather daily in the temple and house to house. And so that's the motto of gathering together like this in corporate atmospheres where there really is something special, there's a dynamic, there's something that happens. Come on, if we're two or three are gathered together, he's there. How much more would several hundred people get together and we're going hard after God? And we're worshiping God, and we're trusting God, and we're expecting God to do what he does and be who he is and show up and move in our lives and minister to us as his people and heal us and strengthen us and restore us. There's something special that happens when we gather together corporately, but sometimes there's a need to just sit with a brother or sister or a handful of brothers and sisters in the Lord and be able to just do life together and share life with one another. And the Bible says to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and even to grieve with those who are grieving, to help to strengthen people when they're going through difficult times and to encourage people when they're going through challenging seasons and then rejoice on the other side when God does what he does inevitably and shows up and delivers a testimony to your life, when he shows up and turns your test into the testimony or your mess into your message. It's more than just a church concept. It's more than just a vision. It's the heart of God. We were created for relationship with God and with one another. Listen, we're created for relationship. This was never intended to be about religion. It's a relationship. The heart of the gospel is a God, a father, a heavenly father who loved you so much as his son or as his daughter that he refused to allow the sin and the rebellion and the pride and the guilt and the shame and the condemnation that had created a relational separation between you and between your heavenly father, he refused to allow it to remain. And so he sent his son Jesus to set the example, the model of what sacrificial love looked like. Not to just get you into a church or to get you into a religion, but to restore a relationship with you. It's the heart of the gospel. And it's the heart of God for us, one to another. We need a relationship, a personal relationship with God, but we were created for relationship with one another. And just think about it this morning. Adam, before the fall, he was living in perfect communion with God. Before sin had entered in and just wrecked the thing and messed the thing up, he was living in relationship, perfect relationship with God, and God still looked and said, it's not good for man to be alone. He had perfect relationship with God, but he said, man needs relationship. And he did a beautiful thing and created that wonderful woman, Eve, to come and serve as a helper. You know, have you ever heard, this is a joke, by the way, I'm just telling you in advance so you don't get offended. Have you ever heard the one about God coming to Adam and saying, it's not good for you to be alone? And Adam said, yes, it's not good. I'm lonely. And he said, here's what I'm going to do, Adam. I'm going to create a woman to come and be your helpmate and your partner and your companion. And she's going to be amazing. She's going to be wonderful. She's going to be sensitive to your needs. She's going to be a caretaker to you. She's going to be a partner to all the things that I call you to do. She's going to be intelligent. She's going to be beautiful, more beautiful than anything you've ever laid eyes on. And Adam responded and he said, that sounds pretty good, God. And he said, well, it's going to cost you something, Adam. And Adam said, God, what's it going to cost me? And he said, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And Adam looked up with concern and said, well, what can I get for a rib? But listen, it's true. Adam enjoyed perfect companionship, perfect relationship, uninterrupted communion with God. And yet God still looked and said, it's not good for him to be alone. We're created for relationship with God and with one another. It's true. It's the heart of God. It's God's design. And listen, because it's God's design, you better expect that there'll be opposition. Because it's God's heart, because it's God's will, I tell you guys this all the time, because I want you to be prepared to stand firm and stand fast and stand your ground and see the schemes of the enemy and be prepared to come against him with the word of God and with the truth of God and with faith. Anywhere where there's power, potential, or promise in God's kingdom, you better believe and expect that there's going to be opposition. Revelation chapter 12 says that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, that day and night he accuses us to God and to one another. And God's heart is relationship, and we're going to get into it today about how powerfully important and dynamic it is when we really begin to understand and we begin to walk in the fullness of the unified relationships that God intended for us to live out. With Christ being the unifying factor in those relationships, there's so much power, so much potential, so much promise, you better expect that the enemy is going to oppose. His goal, the enemy's goal is destruction. Isn't that what John chapter 10, verse 10 says? That the enemy only comes to what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. To destroy. His goal, his mission is destruction. And his main strategy is division. And the tactics that he uses are discord and disagreement and disappointments to divide us relationally, because he understands the power of unity. And he understands the heart of God is relationship. Again, first with God and then one to another. And listen, because the enemy is opposing, because he's always looking to introduce strife and introduce disappointment and introduce division or disagreement, we go through life and we go through relationships and we can experience those very things. Hurts, disappointments, violations, things that we never expected to happen. Listen, the more intimate a relationship is, the more potential there is for that to exist or to occur. And the enemy is going hard after Christian marriages. The enemy is going hard after Christian families. The more intimate, the more power, the more potential, the more promise that exists within something, you better believe that the enemy is going to come against it. So as we go through life, we can experience these things. And here's the thing. Jesus actually said that those things would come, that offenses would come. But it's not whether they come or not. It's what we do with them. And we have the decision. We have the choice. When those things come, when those things pop up, when those little misunderstandings or disagreements pop up, how are we going to deal with it? Are we going to present them before God? Are we going to extend forgiveness? Are we going to communicate openly and honestly? Are we going to allow the Lord to come in and heal? Are we going to allow God to deal with these things? Listen, if we don't deal with those things, they tend to accumulate. And the more those things accumulate in your life because of the relationships you've walked through, the risk that you run if you don't present them before God and allow God to heal them and to deal with them is that you enter into the next relationship that God has that is full of power, full of promise, full of potential, to help you to connect to your kingdom destiny and for you to help that person to connect to his or her kingdom destiny. The risk that you run if you don't allow, if you allow those things to accumulate is that you enter into that relationship with baggage. With baggage. But God's heart is to heal. God's heart is to restore. Maybe you've been through some things that caused you to be skeptical about getting involved in a life group or caused you to be skeptical about really leaning in and going beyond just coming to church on Sunday morning. Or maybe you've been through some things in marriage or family and you've said, I'll never do that. Whatever it looks like for you, God's heart is to heal and restore and to take that baggage off of you. You know, last week I was in Texas, Pastor Eddie and I, for some pastor's meetings. And somehow we ended up in the C group, boarding the plane, you know, and you know what that means is that you're going to be kind of squeezed in the back of the plane and you're going to just be begging and pleading and hoping that there's room for your carry-on, you know. Come on, who's ever walked that walk, you know, you're kind of walking the back and you're looking, you know, and so this is what I was doing last week. I was boarding the plane, you know, and I was walking towards the back of the plane. I knew I was destined to sit back there, you know. And I was looking up into the overhead compartments, and I was noticing all the backpacks that people had put in there violating, you know, the protocol. You know, you're supposed to put the backpack under the seat, right, to save room. Those people were supposed to put their backpacks under their seat to save room for my carry-on bag. Come on. And so I'm looking at all these backpacks that are up there in the carry-on bins, and I'm wrestling in my heart, trying to just look straight ahead so I don't give the evil eye to the person that's sitting right there in that row, you know. Come on, is that your backpack, buddy? You know, there's room right there under your seat. I can put this in. I'm seeing this thing filling up and filling up. And sure enough, I get to the very back of the plane. And the person right in front of me crams their carry-on into the last space available in the carry-on bins. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're cramming it in there. It's like it barely fit in itself. I mean, they're like hitting it and pushing it and doing this to the thing and trying to shift and shimmy it in there. You know, come on, who's ever done that? And you're standing there and everyone's in the back. You can feel their eyes kind of burning into the back of your skull, you know? And I know what's coming next. The lady is coming from the back and I know what she's doing. She's coming to say, sir, you're going to have to check that bag. And I'm like, I'm holding on to this bag with a white knuckle kung fu grip, lady. Come and get it, you know? But it's really true. We tend to want to hold on to things. Things that God says, come on, let me check that for you. Let me take that for you. And why? Because a lot of times we don't trust that God can really take care of it. It's got to stay in my hands. As long as I've got my hand on it or as long as it's close by me, you know, I've got trust, but I don't know that I can let it out of my sight. Come on. Sometimes you can't trust them to get it, you know. Sometimes you're flying to Kansas City and your bag ends up in St. Louis, you know. But God's trustworthy. Those things accumulate. And if we don't allow God to deal with them and we don't do our part to present them before him, we can end up towing things into our relationships. And we show up into a relationship where God wants us to begin to run and we're burdened with baggage. We're burdened with baggage. Come on, look at somebody next to you and say, check your bags. Check your bags, check your bags. Come on, say, let it go, let it go. Trust God, trust God. You gotta trust God. God can get you to the destination. God can get you to the destination. Check your bags. Listen, we can't afford to allow those things that accumulate, those hurts, pains, and wounds to allow us, or cause us rather, to get isolated. God's called us to be together. God's called us to relationship. We are better together. You can't afford to get isolated. Listen, have you ever thought about this? Hardened criminals, I mean murderers, whatever, the worst of the lot, sentenced to life in prison. You know what they do to give little extra punishment to them? They put them in solitary confinement. That's how powerful isolation can be. You cannot afford to become isolated from the relationships that God has called you to experience, to what you're intended to receive. And here's the thing, what God has invested in you, your story, your testimony, your gift, your wisdom that God has entrusted to you that you are now responsible to sow into the lives of others. Come on, look at your neighbor again. Come on, tell him, check your bags. Check your bags, check your bags. You can't afford to let it accumulate. You'll carry it into the next relationship. Listen, Rally Weeks is more about just getting you into a life group. If that's what it results in, praise God, it's a great place to start. You can look in the seat back in front of you there. There's a flyer that has information about all the life groups that are preparing to launch this fall. Listen, some of you are here this morning, and there's a call of God on your life to step in and lead a life group in the next semester, this next spring, but come and get connected to it. But listen, this series, these messages are about more than that. That's a good step, but my heart, our heart is to see every believer, every man, every woman, every young person leaning in, connected, engaged to what God's doing in this church and to the relationships that exist in this church. Leaning in and engaged, connected to, come on, beyond just attending on Sundays, beyond just being a church member, beyond those things to being fully engaged and connected to the friendships, to the vision, to the mission, to the impact that God's called us to have and to be in this city and in this region, to the relationships. Get connected. Come on, allow God in this season. This is the season. If you've got those things, if you've been carrying those things, if you're reluctant, if you're skeptical, if you're whatever it is for you, this is the season God wants to heal those things to allow you to begin to connect arm in arm with other brothers and sisters in Christ and begin to experience and enjoy what it can feel like to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of community. And listen, that's how we're... We need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. Every one of us enters into God's kingdom through a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, where we have personal faith to call upon the name of the Lord and place our trust in him, to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that he is Lord. But listen, much of the things that we are intended to experience in God's kingdom go beyond a personal relationship, and they are more fully expressed in terms of family and community through relationship. Just think about it. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 18, he said, again, I say to you, he's saying, this is important. I'm telling it to you again. If two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Come on, it's powerful to have a personal relationship. And does God hear you when you pray all by yourself? Obviously he does. But there's exponential power when there's faith and agreement, when we come together, two or three gathered in his name. He says, that's where there's exponential power. I am there in your midst. We need a personal relationship, but again, much of what the Bible has to say about living out the kingdom of God is more fully expressed in terms of family and community. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus came and said, this is how I'm going to teach you to pray. This is how you ought to pray. It says Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is then how you should pray. Pray, my Father who art in heaven. No, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give what? Us, this day, our daily bread. And forgive me of my sins? No. Forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead who? Us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Listen, there's something powerful that begins to happen in our life of faith when the way that we live out our faith shifts from me to we. When we shift beyond just what God can do for me, and I hope they sing the song I like, and I hope they have the donut I like, and I hope they have a parking spot, and this and that and that. Come on. We laugh, and it's funny, but we can fall into that trap quickly. We begin to become self-centered in our faith. Lord, what are you going to do for me? And something powerful begins to shift when we really begin to realize that God's heart is for us to encounter him personally, but then live it out through community and family. When we move beyond me to we. Listen, it's intentional. Relationship calls us and causes us to have to become more like Christ. And many of the strongest virtues of living out a life that looks and sounds like Christ can only be expressed through relationship. Love can only be expressed, really, when there's a relationship, when there's an object to receive. Mercy, compassion, forgiveness, patience. Listen, God has a way of calling you to things that will require you to be fully dependent upon him. Relationship, like maybe nothing else, causes us to be dependent upon Jesus. What do you mean, Pastor T? I mean, I cannot love you the way I'm called to love you unless I have Jesus in my life. It's true. There's something powerful that begins to happen when our faith begins to shift from me to we. There's something powerful. God has a way of calling you. Our relationships require me. Your marriage requires you. to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Men of God, if you're going to be married to a woman of God, you are going to be required to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ to know what to say and to do when she asks you, do these jeans make me look fat? Come on, it's true. You could be doing all right with God in your personal relationship with God, and then God calls you to get married. And you quickly realize, man, quickly, like before the honeymoon is over, you realize, like, man, this is awesome, this is beautiful, this is amazing. I mean, come on, it is. But you realize quickly, I need some Jesus. And then you could be doing all right in your marriage. You know, you kind of have learned how to be married and how to walk that out and express that out, and then God gives you kids. And you both just look at each other and are like, we need ourselves a whole lot of Jesus now.
And coffee.
Then you kind of figure that out a little bit, you know, and you're doing pretty good. You're married and you got kids and you got Jesus. And then your kids start to turn into teenagers. And then you're just like, Lord Jesus, come back soon. Come soon, Lord. Take me home, Lord Jesus. God has a way of calling you to things that require you to be dependent upon him. Relationship requires me to be, come on, I need patience that I don't have in my own strength to raise my kids. I need wisdom that I don't have in my own strength to raise my kids in the fear and knowledge of God, especially in a culture that is moving away from God and opposing the thing. Come on. God has a way of calling you to things that require you to be dependent upon him. It's the heart of the gospel. It's God's design. And it's part of connecting you to your God-given destiny, living out the kingdom through relationship. All right, are you in Mark chapter 2? Come on, if you're there, say I'm there. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, starting at verse 1, obviously. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. I think that's interesting. It says gathered together. You know, you can actually be gathered in the same place and not really be together. It happens all the time. I could be guilty of it myself, you know. That's why I've started trying to be disciplined to put my phone in a silver bowl that my wife has put out on the entryway of our house so that when I come home, I check it in right there and I go to dinner and I'm not just together with my family or with my family. I'm not just gathered, but we're together. You could be gathered. You could be part of a church and not really be together. So it says they were gathered together. Come on, this is an atmosphere where Jesus is about to do a miracle. There's something powerful here. They were gathered and they were together. So there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, come on, catch that. Because of the crowd, they couldn't get near to Jesus because of the crowd. And it says they uncovered the roof where he was. Come on, can you just picture it? The crowd and all the excitement and the anticipation that goes along with the crowd that's fervently there. Come on, to press into God and to hear Jesus. And Jesus is preaching and they can hear the voice of Jesus, but they can't get near to him. And so what do? They climb up on the roof of that thing. Come on, just picture it, like Mediterranean style construction. And there's probably these stucco or some kind of a mud kind of a roof or something that they've put on this house. And these guys climb up onto the roof. And it says they uncovered the roof where he was. They're crawling through this thing. They're determined to get their friend into the presence of Jesus because they know that Jesus is the only one that can heal him. And it says when they have broken through, when they have broken through, when they have broken through, come on, look at your neighbor this morning. Look at someone close to you and say, breakthrough's coming. Breakthrough's coming, breakthrough's coming. When they had broken through, they had broken through. When they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, catch that. Come on, we can read over these kind of things. And I encourage you, ask the Lord to begin to just show you things like this. That maybe you've read something before and something new just begins to pop. It happens all the time as I'm studying, I'm reading, I'm preparing to come and preach the word of God. I see something new that I've never seen before. Jesus saw not his faith, the one who was eventually going to receive the miracle. Who knows if he had faith? We don't know. It says he saw their faith. Their faith. Come on, you need a community of faith around you. There's going to be times where your faith is waning. There's going to be times where you don't have the faith to make the journey. There's going to be times where you don't have the faith to climb the side of the house. There's going to be times where you don't have the faith to start to peel the roof off the place to get into the presence of Jesus. And you need some people around you that will come around you and say, we see where you're at and we know where you've been through. And we know you'll do the same for us, or maybe you already have. Let us carry you to the presence of God. We've got faith for God to do something in your life. He's not through with you. Jesus saw their faith. Their faith. Come on, there's so much to glean out of this. In this season where we're talking about Friends for Life and we're encouraging us to connect beyond Sunday morning and begin to build relationships and grow as disciples and encourage one another and discover that there's ministry that God's called you to, that you need to be part of praying for people and encouraging people and making disciples and reaching people. And it says that when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. And someone ought to say amen. Listen, that's the kind of friends, two things, that's the kind of friends that we need to be and that we're going to need. It's just true. And most times it's true all the time. There's some area in your life where you're soaring, and there's some area in your life where you're struggling. And the heart of God is that you don't do it alone. You don't go it alone. You don't allow yourself to get isolated. You've got people that you can be honest and you can be open with to share your struggle and to rejoice in your triumphs. Listen, that's the atmosphere. And one of our family values here at Rev City is grace and growth. You can go look at it. You can go get that book, the Rev City Vision Book, and you can look at these family values. And one of them is grace and growth. And here's what we mean by it. That the grace of God, that sin is no match for the grace of God. There's no sin, there's no past, there's no fear, there's no failure, there's nothing that you can tell us about yourself that you've been through or that you're going through that would cause us to think less of you, because we believe in the power of the mercy and the grace of God. But the grace of God, this kindness that causes us to want more of God and causes us to want to change, it's we don't get stuck in the grace of God. It's grace that compels us to want to grow in God. You got a sin issue, you got a problem, the grace of God, the grace of God. Where sin abounds, God's word says, grace abounds much more. But the Apostle Paul cautioned us and he warned us to not allow this grace that God's extended to us to cause us to just live callously or carelessly. It's grace that compels us to grow. That's the atmosphere that we need in a church and we need in life groups, grace and growth. When an atmosphere is not primed by grace and by growth, it's by default, it becomes superficial. Because if I share with you the struggle that I'm going through, the doubt, the fear, the sin, the whatever it is, if I fear that you're gonna penalize me or punish me or hold me at arm's length or judge me or condemn me, why would I even go there with you? But if I understand that the whole message of the gospel is this amazing grace that we're called to experience and we're called to work out daily our salvation. And we understand that we're just saved by grace. We're just saved by grace. But we don't allow it to cause us to be parked there. We understand that God, whenever there's an issue in our life, God desires to come in and forgive it and heal it so that he can restore it, so that we can begin to move forward to the call and the purpose and the plan and the destiny of God for our life. Amen? Grace and growth. There's nothing you could tell me. There's no struggle you could tell me that would cause me, come on, that religious spirit that would cause me to think, well, who is this person? Or hold you at arm's length or judge you or condemn you. I realize and I understand that I was right there in desperate need of Jesus. And there's some areas in my heart and in my life where every day, come on, I say it often, we never graduate from grace. Grace and growth, that's the atmosphere. When the atmosphere is not grace and growth, again, it just by default becomes superficial. I don't want to go there with you. But when we really embrace it, we can all relate to the paralytic. We all have something. We all have some place where there's a limp in our life. We all have some place where where some wound, some pain, something that happened in relationship prior in our life has caused us now to get stuck. Come on, we can all relate. That's what it represents. Some area in your life where God's called you to move forward where you've become stuck. Jesus saw their faith, their faith, their faith. Time where I don't have a faith, I need your faith. It's true. I mean, in our eldership, when we meet and we're praying and we're searching and we're seeking and we're calling out to God, we're asking him to show us his heart, his vision that he's called us to trust for and believe for and begin to reach for. There are times just recently I shared with the guys, I said, guys, some of the things that we're believing God for and walking for, it's challenging me, it's stretching me in my own faith. And I'm so glad that I have men of God, men of faith to come around me and begin to pray and begin to strengthen me and say, hey, hey, we got faith for this. You need those kind of friends. It's there. These are the kinds of friends that God has called us to be and that we are going to need. It's just true. Friends that won't allow you to get stuck. Friends that are aware of your past. Friends that are aware of some of the ways that you have a limp in life or that you're paralyzed in life, but they won't, they refuse to allow you to do anything but press closer to Jesus. That's the kind of relationships that we need. Listen, the relationships that you pursue in your life, listen, we're called to be salt and light. We're called to be in the world and not of the world. We're not called to judge the world or hold them at arm's length. We're called to be right there in the middle of them, living life and showing them and modeling them, being salt and being light, what it looks like, what it can feel like and be like to know God and serve God and live in the radical grace of God. But the people that you allow into your inner circle, the people that you allow to most influence you, better be people of faith. Better be people that are challenging you to move forward. Come on, I'm just telling you, when you go through something in life, you can have it either way. You'll find someone that'll just sit down right in the middle of your paralytic deathbed and just camp out with you there. Or you can find some friends that'll start saying, hey, come on, buddy, we're not allowing you to get stuck right there. You've been through a divorce, we're not allowing you to get stuck right there. You've been through a financial downturn, we're not allowing you to get stuck there. You stumbled, you fell, whatever. We're not allowing you to get stuck there. You better be careful about who you pull into your inner circle. The company you keep matters. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. And when it says that, I think it's just implying that that's possible that that could happen, that we could look up and we could find ourselves deceived. We could think that, well, we're good with God, so we can just live any way that we want and allow anyone that we want into our life. And he says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. But Proverbs 13, verse 20 says this, Pastor Eddie mentioned it last week, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. The companion of fools suffers harm. Listen, are your friends, hear me this morning, and this is the invitation, we're just challenging the church to a fresh and a new season of relationship and growing together and encouraging one another as brothers and sisters and as disciples of Christ. Are your friends more connected to your history or your destiny? That's a great question to ask yourselves. Are your friends, are the people that you're closest to, that you're spending the most time with, are they more associated with your history or your destiny? When you're around them, generally speaking, do you feel inspired? Do you feel encouraged? Do you feel motivated to be better and to serve others? Or do you feel empty, tempted, discouraged? Come on, are your closest friends more associated with where you've been, who you were? Or are they helping you to move forward to who you are in Christ and where God's trying to lead you and get you to? Come on, there's a good life, a life of faith, an adventure of faith, free from the past and moving forward into God. Can I ask the worship team to go ahead and come up and join Joy and prepare to lead us this morning? And are your friends more connected with your history or your destiny? Come on, we need some Jesus-loving, faith-filled, spirit-filled, spirit-empowered, on a kingdom mission, on an assignment, not letting distractions or discouragement keep us down. Those are the kind of friends that we need in our life. And those are the kind of friends that God's called us to be. Stand to your feet this morning. Stand to your feet. Let's go ahead and respond to God. His heart is for relationships. So Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for, Lord, your heart for us to experience what godly family and godly relationship can really feel like. Lord, we thank you this morning that you're familiar. You know what it feels like to go through relationships where people don't hold up their end of the bargain. And many of us this morning, we've been through hurts and wounds and pains. Come on, we thank you this morning, Lord, for an atmosphere that we can forgive, that we can present those things before you, and we can really release them to you, God, that we can no longer just be towing those things around as baggage into the new and to the next relationships that you've called us to, God, that are filled with power and purpose and potential and are intended to be used by you to help connect us to more of our God-given destiny, Lord. Thank you, Lord, this morning that those things that we've been carrying, Lord, this morning that we really would just release them to you, God. And that there would be a supernatural grace and an empowerment this morning to experience what it really feels like to release it and forgive those people that have harmed us and hurt us. And Lord, I thank you this morning that you would take those things. Come on, church, I ask you to do it often, but it's by design. Would you just, if that's you this morning, there's anything in your life that's just caused you to kind of hold back or be hindered from enjoying and experiencing relationship and the fullness of what God would have you to enjoy. If there's anything like that, just lift your holy hands before God. And again, I say it often, it's worth repeating. This is just a posture of presenting something before God that you want to leave in the house of God. And it's at the same time that you're presenting that before God, your hands are also open saying, God, now begin to fill me with the grace. Now begin to fill me with a way to trust, a way to engage, Lord, in what you're doing in this place and in this season, in my life and in my church and in these life groups and in my workplace and wherever it is that you would call me, Lord, to go and to be a salt and a light. Lord, we thank you for healing hearts today, God. We thank you, Lord, for stirring faith, God. There's a mission. There's an assignment. Come on, some of us have become stuck in the thing that God's called you to. And this church is going to be an atmosphere where the men and women and the young people of God come around you and begin to charge you and challenge you and speak a better word and call destiny out of your life and begin to identify and affirm the gift and the calling of God that's upon your life as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a young person. Come on, that's the atmosphere that this church, that's going to exist in this church. And if that's you today, you become stuck in an area of life. Come on, just right where you're at, begin to just respond to God and say, Lord, I want to get unstuck. Whatever it is that's caused me to just become stuck in my call, stuck in my life, I thank you, Lord, for fresh faith today, Lord. And now I want us all to just commit in a fresh or a new way to be that kind of friend to those around us. Come on, that's the way that this church will become that atmosphere, is for every one of us, not just a handful, not just a select few, not just the pastors or the staff or the elders or the Sunday school teachers, but all of us to begin to say, God, that's who I want to be. When people encounter me, I want them to encounter Jesus. And when they leave my company, I want them to say, I feel better off about my life, my situations, my circumstances, my future because of the influence of that person on my life. I feel encouraged. I feel hope. I feel life. I feel comforted. I feel peace. I feel stirred to begin to get up and begin to move forward toward the call of God. Come on, if you're willing to commit to be a part of a culture that's known by that exists like that, would you just lift your hands before God and say, God, use me. Here I am. Use me, God. Here I am. Use me to be one of those four friends, Lord, to bring hope, to bring strength, to bring life, to bring encouragement to the people that you bring into my life in the name of Jesus. And now I want to take a moment and give you the opportunity to respond to God's heart for relationship with you. If you're here this morning and you're far from God, you're here this morning and maybe you're a prodigal son or daughter, you once knew God and served God and lived for God, or maybe you're here today and you've never experienced what it feels like to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that transcends church and transcends religion. It's personal and it's intimate and it's powerful. If that's you today, come on, we want to pray with you. And it's very simple, but it's very bold and it's very powerful. The way that we can just so easily just respond to the free gift of salvation that we receive by faith, the grace of God. And if that's you this morning, come on, you fit in one of those two camps, just lift your hand high to heaven. Don't wait. Don't delay. Just lift your hand high towards heaven and say, that's me, Pastor T. I want to come home. I need a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I need the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for these hands being lifted towards heaven and what it represents, God. It's a hand lifted towards you, but more importantly, it's a heart that's coming home. It's a heart that's opening up. And Lord, we thank you. We celebrate it this morning, God, what you're doing in these precious brothers and sisters' lives. And And come on, we're gonna pray this together. We're gonna pray it with you. You can put your hands down if you lifted your hand this morning, unless you just wanna keep it up. We're gonna pray this together, and it's a sign of our commitment to come alongside you and begin to strengthen you and encourage you in your new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing that it does is it reminds us daily of our need for a Savior. So come on, church, with all of your might, pray this together with those precious people who responded to Jesus this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life. I give you my trust. And I'll never be the same. Because of Jesus, because of what you've done on the cross, I'll never be the same. Come on, someone ought to put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Come on, team, lead us.